it will work. It will work. All right. Let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. We're having some technical difficulty, but that's okay. Jesus did not have a laptop. But let's pray. Amen. God and our Father, we're just so thankful to be gathered here with you this morning, being able to worship you, being able to bask in your love. We know you're a great God, a powerful God, our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our light, and our salvation. I pray today that you please open up our eyes again to a new dawn, 2013. I pray that all of our dreams will come true, that you give us the desires of our hearts as we strive to please you in every way possible. Thank you so much that we have the Bible, that we have the freedom to be able to speak freely about our Savior in a country where we're not persecuted for our faith. We're so grateful for that, that we can be a light and that we can open up our mouths and share the good news and share the bread that has been given to us. I pray today that you please encourage us, inspire us, challenge us where we need to be challenged, called higher, so that we can be better people for you. Father, we pray today that as we go through the book of John and we start our series on the book of John, that we'll get closer and know who this God is, who Jesus really is, Father, because we know that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and there is no other God like him in all of the world. Father, thank you so much for just for the proof, Father, of his resurrection, and why we can have communion, and why we can do it in remembrance of him. Thank you so much for your kingdom. Father, we know we pray the prayers, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Help us to be a people that seek first your kingdom, not us, and your righteousness, not our righteousness. And we know all these things will be given to us as well. Please be with me as I speak. Be with every single one of us. I pray that we can walk away from here with one thing that we can change to be a better people for you. Help me to speak your words. In your son's name I pray. Amen. 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 Let's turn the Bibles to John chapter 1. John 1. John chapter 1. It's great to see everybody again. It seems as if you keep on saying Happy New Year, because I don't think we've met here. This is our first time of meeting here in 2013. So we say Happy New Year again. Okay. Here we go. In John chapter 1, we're going to be going through a series on the Gospel of John. Many, many years ago, we went through the Gospels. And you know, in every single stage of life, you know, when you read different books of the Bible, as you read the Old Testament that talks about the prophecies of Jesus, the great Emmanuel, the mighty counselor, the Prince of Peace. You know, I just finished reading Isaiah. There is always a time of reflection that you go back to Jesus all of the time. So every single year, no matter what I read, I've got to come back to Jesus. And I think as a congregation, because he's the author and perfecter of our faith, we've got to keep on growing in the knowledge of Jesus. There are some things you read in John before that I'm going to read again that I've never seen before in the book of John. And so, you know, I want to say Happy New Year. Great to see all of you here this morning. I pray that all of your dreams will come true this morning as I prayed, and that this year can be a year of maturity and we can see God doing amazing victories amongst us in the southeast region of the London Church. You know, as we look at John this year in March, we're going to be looking at, we're going to be doing a series, a campaign in the month of March, and we're going to be using the book Forgotten God by Francis Chan. And that's going to be our campaign in the book of March. And I know that right now, in January, our teaching series on a Wednesday is on the Kingdom series. And I know on Wednesday, we started off with the man about Jesus being the king. Isn't that right? He's the king of the kingdom. And really, that is the Jesus we serve. Do you understand? Never to get off track, even though we get off track. We can get back on track. But to understand that we are part of something bigger, we are part of the kingdom of God. So when Jesus prays, he prays, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Isn't that right? So we go to the book of John. Who is John? We know that John was one of the closest disciples to Jesus. You know, when Jesus was dying on the cross, he told Jesus looks at him and he says something like, son, here is your mother. Isn't that right? I could see that closeness right there. You know, John, as John was a young disciple, him and his brother James were very, very ambitious. And their mother, You understand? We know that James and John were the sons of Zebedee. We know that they were richer men. They came from kind of a wealthy family than Peter and Andrew. They were all fishermen. But you see, when John and James were called, it says they left their father Zebedee and the hired men. So it seems as if there was a family business there. So there was a cockiness. There was a snobbery. There was a brattishness about their upbringing. That as they're growing up now, they said, "Mom, can you please tell Jesus we want to sit on the right hand and the left hand of God in glory?" How audacious. And yet we see John. When they passed through Samaria, these two sons, known as Boethanes, were known as sons of thunder. What did they say? "Should we call down fire on Samaria because they were inhospitable?" And yet we know, later on in life, John became the apostle of love. I know for every single one of us, any one of us can change to be the best that we can be for God. You know, most believe that it was written in AD 90 to 100. Most believe that it was written in the city of Ephesus. You know, Ephesus was a great city. You know, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, all but destroyed by 70 AD by the Romans to prevent a Jewish uprising. Christianity had been spreading widely throughout the known world at that time. The city of Ephesus, it was a large metropolis area with many different cultures. This is the city, and this is the time when John was writing. There was a large Jewish community. And also back then, there was a Greek goddess Artemis who had a huge temple in Ephesus. And we all know the fighting that happened back there, you know, was it the Alexander the metal worker where they tried to deal with Paul and all of those guys there? 3 years in Ephesus resulted in a large Christian community. You know, at that time when John was writing, there were many generations of Christians. Many, many generations of Christians. Unfortunately, what was happening was that false teaching was infiltrating the church. When you start to look at some of the latter writings, later on, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. What were they dealing with? Gnosticism. And some of these false teachings were big things. I know we are not immune to that today. False teaching is all around us. And that's why we preach all of the time. Isn't that right? The teaching of Jesus was being watered down, and disciples were being pulled away by the world. It doesn't that sound familiar to all of us today, brothers and sisters? Yeah. Disciples being pulled away by the world. And you know, John wrote this book to help Christians stay faithful. Amen. And to reinforce, you know, what the other three gospels had already been teaching. We all know that John is totally different. It's a different field, you know. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, do you understand? They get most of their sources from Mark. John is written in a totally different manner. He talks about who God is and what, you know, and Jesus' relationship with the Father. I love that. It's so rich. So rich in terms of a relationship with the Son and His Father. Isn't that right? I can only do what my Father tells me. Well, so you see the discipleship heart of Jesus in terms, yes, hey, became obedient to death on a cross. Yeah, he was God in flesh, but was still submissive to his Father in heaven. That's just we worship. It's different. Look at John 20, verse 31. Look at John chapter 20, verse 31. John 20. Let's see what he has to say there. This for me kind of ties up everything in the book of John. John 20. Look at what he says. Are we there? You know, let's even pick it up. You know, this was where Thomas appeared to Jesus. And he says, "Unless," isn't that right, "I put my hands here or there, then I'll believe." Then Jesus picks it up in verse 29. You know, what did Thomas really say right there? Jesus arrives through locked doors, you understand? So Jesus, do you understand? Anything physical right here is not a limitation to Jesus. He's not limited by that. In verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." You know, is Jesus still real to you? Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miracles, miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Life can only be found, can only be gotten in the name of Jesus. You might worship some other God. No. Life is only found in the name of Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 1 now and read our text today. Short introduction right here. Life is only found in Jesus. Many have come, many have gone. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. Are you there with me now? Let's read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. I know that there's some translations. There's some groups that say Jesus was a God. No, he's no God. He is God. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." John acknowledges that. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. You know, the Word becomes flesh. Point number one, the Word. The Word. Point number one, the Word. You know, the word from Greek, logos. The word means logos. From the Greek word, logos, meaning reason or word. And really, when you talk about logos, it means you're talking about Jesus Christ himself. You use the word logos, isn't that right? That's Jesus himself. Reason or word. The embodiment of God himself. Left heaven, came down to earth so that he could communicate with us. You know, God did not send an ant to communicate with us because we're not ants. You understand? Neither did he send a camel. He sent his son as in human form. God, you know, we say God man walking on earth so that we could connect with him and really see, you understand, the exact representation of God in human form. You know, what is the word? You know, today, we live in a world today where people, you understand, get a lot of nourishments, you know, from different things, you know, in their lives. I'm going to be talking about that in point number two. But let me tell you something. People get satisfaction from alcohol. Isn't that right? People get satisfaction from different things in their lives, whether it's alcohol, whether it's sex, whether it's thrills, all kinds of things. But let me tell you something. The Word of God, Jesus himself, is the source of all physical, intellectual, moral, and spiritual life of man. Anything out of that, you are not living life to the full. He said in the Bible, isn't that right? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Only through Jesus can we have life to the full. Amen. There is no other substitute to that. You know, much of our words, you know, when you look at Jesus, you see that the words that came out of his mouth came from the Father. Why? Because he wanted to connect with us. You know, when I speak, there are times when I'm at home with my family, the words that come out of my mouth definitely is a symptom of something that is in my heart. Yes. So sometimes when I speak, you can see the attitudes showing. And then somebody will say, "You got an attitude." And I say, "No, I don't have an attitude." But they can see your body language. Isn't that right? So sometimes our words, you understand, what we say to people reveals what? Our hearts and our minds. And so sometimes there can be those attitudes, there can be those actions, and there can be those adverse remarks. Teenagers, are you with me on this one? You know, sometimes when we give our parents the look, we don't want to do something, we give them the look. Isn't that right? And we are filming, do you understand? I was studying with a young man the other day, on Thursday. He's a young guy, college student, and gave him some good challenges because he wasn't repenting, he wasn't changing. And we've been, you know, they've been going over, and I said, number two, and I said, you know, and please at least respect what we're trying to do. We're trying to help you. And so afterwards, he says, can we go now? Can we pray? And I said, let's not pray. And I said, did you have an attitude? And he said, yes, and he wanted to pray. So I went ahead, I helped him, I mentored his heart before he prayed. We have to get the heart right. And then he prayed. And then it was good. But you see, Jesus himself, as he spoke, he was revealing his heart and his mind to us. Nothing false. Great example in all. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Isn't that right? A word is composed of letters. And Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. So every single thing you read in the Bible right here is the living, is God and Jesus exposing their hearts. So when we read the Bible, we don't read it lightly. Like a newspaper. This is life. The word of God is living and it is active. It's not a novel.
That's right.
You might carry it, you might say, okay, different versions. It might be from Zondervan. But let me tell you something. This has life in it.
Amen.
It is more powerful than any powerful supplement you have in Boots or Hollands and Barrett's. This is it right here. The word of God. Living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and marrow, joints and muscles. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him. To Him we must give account. Let me ask you this morning, is the Word having an impact in your life? Is Logos having an impact in your life this morning? You know, according to Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3, Jesus Christ is God's last word to mankind. The last word to mankind. If you're waiting for some other book, if you're waiting for some other prophet, you've missed the boat. You've missed the boat. He's the last word to all mankind. This is it. And I'm not talking about Michael Jackson's. This is it. This is it. Last word to mankind. He is the climax of divine revelation. So let me tell you something. I don't know where your faith is at today. I don't know who you are this morning. You might be an atheist. You might be an agnostic thinking, is Jesus really real? Let me tell you something. Can you please get onto the boat? Because he's the last word. Get to know him. Don't take any risks. Get to know this Jesus. You understand? I don't think I even need the mic. You know what I'm saying? There you go. Amen. Isaiah chapter 45. You know, I've been reading Isaiah recently in my quiet times, and I've been having a great time with that. But let's look at Isaiah 45.
Amen.
Isaiah 45. Yeah, Mulligan likes Isaiah because he named his son Isaiah. Hey, Isaiah. You understand? Amen. I wish my dad had named me Isaiah, but he called me Tokes, and I'm happy with that. Amen. Verse 45, verse 22. Amen. Do you understand? Isaiah 45. Let's all go to Isaiah 45. Are you with me this morning, church?
Yes.
Amen. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look at some scriptures. You know, I'm just going to, I had a great time just reading, because when you read the book of Isaiah, it talks a lot about the word of God. It talks about words and God's words, you know, not taking it lightly. So let's look at Isaiah verse 45, verse 22. Let's quickly go there. Look at what it says here. In verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity, a word that will not be what? Revoked. Some people are thinking, you know, empty words. Scoffers are going to come, saying, where is this God? 2 Peter chapter 3. God's words cannot be revoked. Once they have been spoken, they are going to come to action. The very words here, John chapter 12, is what's going to judge us on the last day. So when Logos speaks, you listen with respect and you listen with fear. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 55 first. Let me not run ahead. You guys were writing down. I said 55. Did I say 66? Okay. That's okay. You were ahead of me. All right. Isaiah 55. Check out some of the words here. The word is powerful. The word, that is what transforms us. And if you're not having great Bible study, if you're not in the Word of God, you are powerless. You have a vitamin deficiency, which I'll be talking about in the next point. Isaiah 55, verse 10. Know what it says? As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it, without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God does not delight in empty words. He took his son today on the cross. He lost his son. A lot of energy went into it. Isn't that right? There was a separation. God is saying, look at what I've done. My words are not going to come back empty. Brothers and sisters, I think there's going to be a soberness about us when we look at the Word of God. There's going to be a sobriety in our hearts, and when we look at the Word, we've got to get caught. Have we stopped getting caught by the Word of God? There have been times in my life, you know, where my wife will bring things up, or my family about my behavior, and I've got to say, you know what? I've got to, when people keep on, you know, bashing at us and saying, you've got to change this, then we've lost connection and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, and we're not allowing the Word of God to. The Word should be enough. Isn't that right? And people around us, but sometimes sensitivity can go because we're not praying on our knees. And you know, the Word has got to cut us. Like it says in Hebrews chapter 4, last scripture from Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Let Logos cut you, let the Word of God cut you. Hebrews 12, and that's the reason why, you know, people change and become disciples and get converted because they allow the Word of God to cut them. There is no rocket science about it at all. When people refuse to accept the Bible, become disciples, it's because the Word, they're not allowing the Word to cut them. They put up a shield with excuses and flimsy arguments that hold no water. Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. Look at what it says. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I look up unto. Other versions, this is the one I esteem. Nobility, integrity. Isn't that right? God looks at it and God says, this is somebody I respect. This is somebody I honor. I will listen. Why? Somebody who is what? Humble and contrite in hearts. And does what? Trembles at my word. Amen. When was the last time you shook at the word? You read something in the Bible and it scared you. Wow. When was the last time you read something and it scared you and it shook you up? I gotta tell you guys, when I look at my own life, the older you get, and when God puts things your way, isn't that right? When you start to hear bones creaking and you start to go to the hospital, you read the record of a man. Lord, Lord, let me just humble myself here. But you shouldn't only humble yourself and tremble at his word when danger is near the door or when you're struggling. Yeah. You tremble for the word all of the time so you can grow in maturity right. To fear this great God. And then he can be formed in your life. Right. Whether it be in your marriage or your parenting or your work, all areas of your life, you allow this word so that you can tremble at the word of God. But sometimes even in the church, we've kind of lost that. Where we walk in and then we start to question, should this be right? Is the commitment too much? Should I do this or this kind of thinking? We've lost the plot. Because we fail to tremble at the word of God. You know, when we talk about the word of God, brothers and sisters, we should not talk about it lightly. Because we are talking about Christ himself. The power with which everything was created. It humbles me, you know, to think that I'm able to read the Word of God each and every day and be changed and moved by it. Yeah. Now, some days, you know, you can read it and it doesn't change you as much, but some days you're moved by it. But it's got to be a daily thing that we read so we can be changed by the Word of God to be a better people. You know, here's one thing, guys. This is a, you know, some people, you know, you have a headache, you take paracetamol. You have a stiff headache or a migraine, you take paracetamol and codeine. I know people buy that. I don't take anything. But let me tell you something. This is even better than that. The Word of God. Let it change you from within. Let it change you from within. You know, Jesus, in verse 3, let me just quote these things, is the creative Word. Do you understand? Creation has been done. It's been done. He is the creator. You know, in John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isn't that right? John 1. Parallel with Genesis 1:1. He is the creative Word. Let me tell you something right here. When God says, let there be light, there was what? Light. Jesus was with there with God in the beginning. Well, here's one thing. In Psalm 33, verse 9, he says, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and he stood fast. God created all things through Jesus Christ. You know, creation is not a process. It is a finished product. What am I saying? If God could create the world, rest 7 days and look at it and say, beautiful. You this morning, brothers and sisters, because of Logos, you are not an afterthought. I think sometimes you walk around and we think, well, did God make a mistake with me? And what's coming out of our mouths? Creation is finished already. You might think, well, he didn't create me like that person. You know, I wish I looked like Denzel Washington. Oh, I look like that person. You are a finished product. Amen. Ain't no more creation. You're beautiful from the inside.
Amen.
See what I'm saying right here? Well, you know, when children of God walk around thinking, man, God has created this awesome earth, and they walk around like an afterthought. And they live in the land of navel gazing. How ungrateful. Wow. Do you understand? And then, and you've got to say, man, wait, if Jesus is a creative Word, man, Jesus loves me so much. Man, I've got to feel confident and comfortable in the way that he has created me. When Jesus came down, he talks about Jesus coming down to become man so he could relate to us. Jesus was not a phantom or a spirit or some figment of somebody's imagination. I know, guys, you know, here's one thing I love about God is because he is real. I felt his impact. You understand? You know, the wind blows. You understand? You cannot see the wind, but you can feel the impact. And I hope you felt the love of God in your life. Over the years, you know, becoming a disciple, I felt God's love in my life. I've seen people who have helped me, character changes, you know what I'm saying? I've seen the way he's blessed, you know, my life, marriage, family, most of us around us, and count your blessings because of what Jesus has done. He is not out of reach. He can touch you. Isn't that right? You know, John, in the book of John, in John 4:6, Jesus was tired. Don't we all get tired? And some of us will say, Jesus cannot relate. Let me tell you, he can relate. Jesus got tired. All right? Jesus got thirsty. I can see Neka right here sipping on, what is that? Is that tea or what is that? Tea or water. But that's okay. He was thirsty. Are you thirsty? Or just sipping tea? Do you know what I'm saying? That's okay. That's okay. With the warm tea or coffee right there. Trying to stay awake. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay, sister. I just saw you with the cup. And it fits into my point. And that's how I mentioned it. Okay. He moves on right there. He was deeply moved by the spirits and troubled. Openly wept. On the cross, he was thirsty. He died. He bled. After his resurrection, he proved to Thomas and the other disciples that he still had a real body. Even though it was a glorified body. How was he made flesh? Through the birth of an ordinary woman known as Mary. He took on himself sinless human nature and identified with us in every aspect of life from birth to death. Your Jesus is not out of reach. He is real and can be touched. You know, we have a high priest that can relate to our weaknesses. You know, Jesus can relate to every single thing you're going through. He's been there. He's done it. He's just waiting for you to communicate with him. Please do not pull back. Point number one, the Word. Point number two, the light. The light. You know, six times in John 1, it mentions the word light. Two times it mentions the word life. And I like that, you know, because, you know, what is our theme this year? The Lord is my light and my salvation. That's why we took the book of John, because all through the book of John, what you read about is light and life. Light and life. And the Word giving birth, do you understand? So, you know, that's why we chose the book of John to go through that. You know, life is one of the key themes in the book of John. Everybody talks about life in John's gospel. Life is used 36 times in the book of John. 36 times, life, 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 life. So, isn't life important? What are the essentials for human life? Anybody? What are the essentials for human life? Water, air, food,
shelter, warmth,
all those things, and many, many things. Isn't that right? I put down here at least four things. Light. If the sun went out, everything would die.
Yeah.
Air. You need air to breathe, or you die. Water. You go without water for a long time, you die. And food. Jesus is all of these. He's all of these. He's the light of life and the light of the world. He's the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. By his Holy Spirit, he gives us the breath of life as well as the water of life. Finally, Jesus is the living bread. Living bread of life that came down from heaven. You know what, guys? When Jesus had fed multitudes.
Guys, I gotta tell you, when you get a free meal, don't you want to go back there for another free meal?
So, the bread of life in John 6. I'm sure we're going to, when it says I'm the bread of life. So those of you who have, it just says, you're not following me because of the miracles. It's because of the free bread that you got. Isn't that right? Tell me about it. There's free bread somewhere. Every day, and they say, come and get a loaf of bread in Bexley Heath. It's going to be free. I'll be there every day. But they were following just for the wrong reason, and he turns it back on them. Isn't that right? Why? Because he wanted them to see his spirituality, his deity, and about what he was all about. He is not your insurance policy. And sometimes, as disciples, we can only pray to God when we want something. And our relationship is all about request, 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 request. And not really saying, God, I want to become like you. I want to change in this area. But it's full of so many, and requests are good. But if your prayers are just about requests, it's to give me, God. Let me grab the grabbables from you, God. And then I'll be content. How about if the grabbables are gone? Would you still be sitting here today? What is your relationship based on? What's your motivation? He not only has life and gives life, but he is life. I need Jesus. I need Logos. You know, for every single one of us here today, we need life to survive. I went to my GP the other day. Born and bred in England, went back to Africa, stayed in the sun. The sun beats on you, and the sunshine drug, vitamin D, is something that people in Africa don't need to take. But I've been here for a long time, and I went to my GP, and I was having pains, and I did a blood test, and he says, you are lacking in some vitamin D, the sunshine drug. So I went out to Healthspan, and I bought myself some high-strength vitamin D. Yeah. You know, vitamin D deficiencies can lead to many fatal illnesses. Rickets is a disorder caused by lack of vitamin D, where the bones get they lack calcium or phosphate, and it leads to softening and weakening of the bones. That's what it does physically, vitamin D. Low blood levels of the vitamin have been associated with the following. Increased risk of death from cardiovascular disease. Cognitive impairment in older adults, dealing with our thinking and brain. Severe asthma in children, cancer. That's what it says. But am I talking about a vitamin D deficiency or the deficiency of Jesus in your life this morning? I'm talking about a lack of exposure to Jesus. A lack of exposure to the Son of God. When you don't get enough of Jesus, you get lukewarm. Your life gets brittle. Your life gets fragile. You need him in full quantity. The bread of life. Isn't that right? And so, before you take your oats, or maybe you have your oats first, at least check in there and get some bread of life that will sustain you for the rest of your day.
Amen.
You understand? You eat 3 square meals a day, but we give God our pittance. By our chicken fried rice prayers. Our terminal prayers, you understand? Lord, thank you so much for the oats. Man, God, I'm feeling a little bit guilty right here. Let me just pray for 10 minutes right here, just to soothe my conscience. Well, you're goofing down food 3-4 times a day. You're snacking all throughout the day. Can't you snack with God?
Amen.
Pray more. A church is as powerful as the prayers and our devotion to Jesus. Are you lacking in vitamin D of Jesus right now? Are you lacking in vitamin of the Son? You know, whether you have been in the church for many years, it doesn't really matter. Am I exposing myself to Jesus? You might be a young disciple, you know, teenagers right now. Let me just talk to our teens. How are you doing this year? Happy New Year. Teenagers. If there's one thing I want to encourage you guys,
exposure to the Son of Jesus. And you know, parents, I really hope that you're leading your kids down the path of really helping them to get a good Bible study and get their prayer lives up and up and up. You understand? It is not automatic. Becoming a disciple is not automatic. You understand? It's not an entitlement, it is a privilege. Now, so it's not that you grab from the shepherd and say, I am ready now. No, the heart has got to change.
So it's not by osmosis. And so we got to teach our kids, it starts from home.
Amen.
Yeah.
Fathers,
amen.
Mothers, are you in there? As a couple, in there with the word of God shaping their hearts. Because a lack of vitamin D, what it shows in kids' hearts, rebellion, lack of respect, all right, hooliganism, London burning down a couple of years ago, was shallow family values. There were no family values. Let me tell you something. So Jesus, I hope Jesus is really your household. Not Doctor Who.
No, right. Not Power Rangers. Not X Factor. Strictly Come Dancing. Go to dance.
I'm not going to church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are we talking to the family right here today? You understand what I'm saying? Where it's not the latest fashion or how I look rules the life. Teenagers, you got to be secure.
Your confidence should come from God. Not my friend has worn the latest shoes. Therefore, I've got to have it. Or if I don't have it, I am half a team. No, you're still a full team. Isn't that right? Well, you know, hey, man, they wear Oscar de la Renta or Versace. Fila. And this is how they come cheap. But you're taking me to the £1 store. A Primark. Primark doesn't make a man. Jesus makes a man.
Amen.
If they had my size, I'll buy from Primark. If it's 100% cotton, it's 100% cotton. Doesn't matter whether it's BHS or M&S.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Say, you buy and you buy. We do not judge ourselves about what we wear, but what is on the inside. Amen, teenagers?
Amen.
So let's encourage each other this world not to look at the world. Amen. I hear some parents who are kind of thinking, man, he was getting expensive on my budget. But amen. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, Toast. But that's okay. Let's move on right there. All right. Here we go. If you're not even a disciple,
it is time for you to expose yourself to Jesus. You have got to make a decision this year that I'm going to get into the Bible. I'm going to sit down with the person who brought me to church and find out who this Jesus is. Why are you guys different? Why do you put the Bible into practice? Get to know him. Do you understand? He is the light of the world. How much exposure to this light are you giving yourself? What are some things that can keep us from being exposed to the light? What are some things that can keep us being exposed to the light?
Fear.
Okay. Busy lives. Martha was busy in the kitchen. You know what? Cooking. I want to impress Jesus.
Right.
Jesus is kind of looking. I'm not impressed. Maybe she doesn't know what is better.
Right.
Now, she probably she was cooking the best meal ever. First, I'm just not impressed by that. It's a house.
Yeah.
And in Matthew 6, he says, seek first the kingdom, best of the earth. And he says, the pagans run after those things. The pagans.
Hey, come on. Come on, brother.
The pagans, you understand? Man, the Lord was about to humble me. Amen. But amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I wouldn't want Ben and Mark to come up on stage and start rescuing me. You understand? And be telling me, brother, you fell because you weren't doing your power walking. By the way, it's going to start. Amen. Amen, man. Amen. You know, what are some things that can keep us from being exposed to the light? We hide behind our families. We hide. Family issues. No, Jesus still expects us as families to follow him wholeheartedly. Family is not an excuse. You know, we hide behind our work. I am too busy. Jesus, you never put Jesus on hold because of your busy schedule. Seek first his kingdom and his right. Expose yourself to it. And sometimes people say, well, I'm so busy. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've got some exam like this. Therefore, my commitment is going to go down because you have an exam. Colossians 3:23. In all that you do, work at it with all your heart as working for who? For God and not for man. You know, our selfishness and our pride. That's a big one. Got to keep on praying about that. We hide behind our comforts. Winter is coming. It is cold. Oh man, I love the duvet. 25 tog duvet. The alarm goes off. There's not too much snow out there. And you say, oh, Oh, can I make it to church today? Oh, and you look outside, a little bit of sweat in your mind, you think it's 12 feet of snow. And I'm in our comforts. You know what, guys? Let Jesus shine on you. Amen. Let Jesus shine on you. Write these down as references. John 3:16-21, coming to the light. And Ephesians 5:8-14, when he talks about, let Christ shine on you. Shameful to know what the sinful do in darkness. Come out, guys, come out into the light. You know, when you look at the book of John, light and darkness are recurring themes in John's gospel. God is light. In him is no darkness. While Satan is the power of darkness. And so, I tell you this morning, who is having the more impact in your life? Jesus or Satan? When you start to make excuses, you're not making excuses on Jesus' behalf. You are now in Satan's kingdom. A disciple of Jesus. You know, Jesus is very, very clear. Isn't that right? When we start to make excuses about this and that, you are in a spiritual battle, being drawn away. Isn't that right? From the very thing that Jesus wants us to accomplish in our lives. People either love the light or darkness. Isn't that right? And what happens is what you love controls your actions. You hear me, church? We have no other passage, just Bible, John 3:16-19, that are quoted. Isn't that right?
Yes,
the only hope we have, brothers and sisters, is the light of Christ. There is no other light than that of Jesus.
Amen.
It is more important than any vitamin that our bodies might need. More important than any vitamin. Do you understand? And you got to take those supplements, you know, that's fine. But it's more important than any vitamin, so expose yourself to Jesus.
Amen.
How does that look like? You know, well, one thing that's been encouraging me is that he's going around praying with brothers in the morning.
Yeah.
That's very, very inspiring. Just going around in the morning, 6 o'clock, praying with different people. I like, you know, we could pray with each other.
That's right.
Talk about what Jesus is doing in your life. You understand? Let's expose ourselves. If you know that man is sluggish, you understand? The new year has started. Get well, it's not really happening a lot. Confess it. Get together with somebody so you can be strong in your walk. It is the one essential thing that you cannot live for eternity without. Point number 3, grace and truth quickly, and then we close out. John chapter 1. Are you all with me? The word, the light. Come into the light of God. Jesus is the light. Come into the light. Okay, John 1, are we here? You know, lastly, it says right here, Jesus was full of what? Grace and truth. Isn't that right? Well, you know, when you look at John 1:14, we see 3 times, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Verse 16, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. What is grace? Thanks, Suda. That would have been wrong if it was another brother and your wife is not calling you. Okay, that's some marriage counseling or marriage retreat. So let's not go there now. Okay, amen. Oh, dear. Where we are. Okay. Okay, grace. That's where we are. Isn't that we left over grace? Okay. Amen. Undeserved favor. Truth. Greek derived from Greek term meaning not to be hidden. Grace and truth. Jesus was exposed. There was nothing false about Jesus. Everyone wants God's grace. You may have heard people say that grace needs to be preached more. When we are preaching Jesus, we are preaching all about grace. Grace was all about sacrifice. Too many desire to hear grace preached in a way that makes Christianity easy. If you sin, it's okay. You don't have to confess it. Just move on. And my Bible tells me in Proverbs 28 verse 13 that whoever does what? Will not prosper. But whoever does what? Confesses and renounces them will find mercy. That is what I call cheap grace theology. It's just between you and God. Oh yeah? But who's going to hold you accountable and help you to change that sin? Ananias and Sapphira's sin was made well known in the church because that was the second conquest. We see Achan's sin in the Old Testament in Joshua. We see Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. It was made known so because it wasn't just between them and God. They were grieving the Holy Spirit. As long as you feel good about yourself, then you are okay with God. Oh, feel good. I feel good. No. And we're not talking about James Brown. Okay. You know, what other soft versions of Christianity are being taught in the world, we cannot go with it. And we cannot, because what happens is, this is what the religious world holds on to. One thing I love about the church is that somebody will sit me down and say, how's your marriage? And I want them to ask. How is your parenting? And I want people to ask. And if they don't ask, I will reveal it. Grace and truth. Remember the Greek word? Nothing hidden. I want my life to be an open book. I've had minister friends who have missed the mark. No longer. So who am I? To say, I don't need anybody in my life. I've arrived. I haven't arrived yet. We need people. And you know, if you're visiting with us, that's something about the church here. We involve people in our lives. You've got to get open. Isn't that right? The relationship, the one another relationship that they say, brother, sir, let me encourage you. You know, and you come back and they know you very well and they pray for you. I want to be a part of a fellowship like that. Rather than going to a fellowship, it's between you and people walk in and out, and that is why so many times in relationship there's so many scandals because of a lack of one another relationship. Jesus was not just full of grace, he was full of truth. You can't have one without the other. Great sacrifice of Christ so that all of humankind can have a chance to be saved. We don't deserve it. God gives it anyway. It is only by his grace that it's possible to be saved. Everyone wants salvation. Everyone wants to go to heaven. But what about the truth? The truth says you have to be committed. As I round up, disciples of Jesus Christ, in order to be saved, you have to be committed. You can't just claim to believe and live however you want. You can't claim to live by the truth here on Sunday. Jesus isn't full of grace and truth on Sunday and maybe Wednesday. It's every day. He's full of grace and truth each and every day. So should you be. So should I. We are called to the same standard. Whether you're young here today, whether you're old here today, isn't that right? You've got to be full of grace and truth manifesting itself in your life. No matter what your background is, no matter what your color is, no matter what your race is, no matter what your language is, Jesus is Lord, and his message cuts through every single culture, every single race, every single language. That's Jesus who we serve. Do you believe in it? Are you living out your life, brothers and sisters, this morning? Connecting with Jesus. Are you even in the fight? God's expectation this morning is for you to be in the fight. That you strive for perfection, even though we can't be perfect, but we strive for it. When you fall, you get back up and continue to turn to God. Allowing God's love and grace and truth to change your life. So that all of us can be mature and be the best that we can be. Amen. This morning, we've spoken about the word. I hope the word will be living in your heart today. And you can be all that you need to be for the word. Amen. That the light can shine in your life. Let it shine. Get rid of it. Let him shine on you. Isn't that right? Expose yourself more. Don't hide in the corners. Expose yourself to Jesus. Get into the word. And lastly, let us respond to Jesus, who was full of grace and also truth. God bless you all. Amen. Amen.
Just thank Toby because I think he preaches with such